Do not be afraid. Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. These words were spoken shortly after Abram had given his nephew Lot a choice of territories. Lot chose what appeared to be the best, Jordan's well-watered plain. Abraham, however, looked to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thus, he lost nothing. Then the Lord appeared and seemed to say, Your nephew Lot trusted in what he could see. He followed the leaning of his own judgment and chose what seemed best for his immediate advantage. Abram, do not be afraid. You will not lose, for I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. You have chosen the good part, and it will not be taken from you. Do not worry. The patriarch might have responded, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance, Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. Beloved, you have seen others suffer losses, and it has probably depressed you. Regardless of what happens, do not be alarmed. God is your defense and refuge in the day of your trouble, Psalm 59, verse 16. You will be most secure in Him. You may have losses and afflictions, but they will not overwhelm you. You will be kept by God's power. He will deliver you out of every trial and affliction. He will be your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Multiplication of our trials are expected. Genesis 22, verse 1. God does not put heavy burdens on weak shoulders. God educates and tests our faith by trials that increase in proportion to our faith. God expects us to do adult work and to endure adult afflictions only after we have reached a mature status in Christ Jesus. Therefore, beloved, expect your trials to multiply as you proceed toward heaven. Do not think that as you grow in grace, your path will become smoother and the sky calmer and clearer. Quite the contrary, as God gives you greater skill as a soldier of the cross, He will send you on more difficult missions. As He more fully equips your ship to sail in storms, He will send you on longer voyages to more boisterous seas, so that you may honor Him and increase in holy confidence. You would think that in Abraham's old age, after he had come to the land of Beulah, after the birth of Isaac, and especially after the expulsion of Ishmael, he would have had a time of rest. But it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 1. Let Abraham's story warn us, never plan on a rest from trials this side of the grave. The trumpet still plays the notes of war. You cannot sit down and put the victory wreath on your head. You do not have a crown yet. You still must wear the helmet and carry the sword. You must watch, pray, and fight. Expect your last battle to be the most difficult, for the enemy's fiercest charge is reserved for the end of the day. Blessed beyond measure, Genesis 22, verse 17. The greatest blessing God gives is His presence. If I could choose any of life's blessings, I certainly would not ask for wealth, because wealth cannot bring freedom from pain, concern, or anxiety. I certainly would not ask for popularity, because there is no rest for the world's leaders. My choice, my highest honor, would be to have God with me always. When God is with us, there is no difference between Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace and a comfortable bed. It does not matter. We will be happy in either. If God is with us, if His divine love surrounds us and we carry our own atmosphere in residence wherever we travel, and we can say with Moses, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations, Psalm 90, verse 1. The individual who can say this is full of heaven, full of God, and blessed beyond measure. This is a privilege of all who truly believe in Jesus, of all who come out from the world, and of all who, like Abraham, live a life of faith. Genesis 12, verse 4. Bow your head, believer, and let the Lord God pronounce this blessing. I will bless you. If you are sorrowing, suffering, weary, or burdened, receive this blessing from God's own mouth. I will bless you. If you are poor, despised, or slandered, this blessing is not shortened. Take it with you and go on your way rejoicing. The Lord's Presence, Genesis 28, verse 16. The Puritans believed in an ever-present God. Oh, to be able to feel God everywhere, in the little as well as the great, in our rising up and our sitting down, in our going out and our coming in. I cannot imagine a life more blessed or a spirit more related to the spirit of the glorified than the mind and heart of the person who lives in God, who knows and feels that God is ever present. If you are in personal danger or in the midst of a storm or facing illness, and if you hear a voice saying, surely the Lord is in this place, you'll be perfectly at rest. The anxious air grows pure if He is there. Lightning cannot strike you, or if it does, it will be joy. The storm cannot devour you, nor can the hungry ocean engulf you. Or if one does, it is happiness if God is there. There is no need to fear. Nervousness is wickedness when the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. You may be in great poverty. Your walls may be bare and your furnishings scant. And still you may say, surely the Lord is in this place. Remember the old Christian's exclamation, what? All this? And my God present with me? Better to have poverty and feel His presence and to own the world's riches and not know that He is here. Some of you are in deep affliction. Your difficulties are so great that you do not know where things will end, and you are deeply depressed. But remember, surely the Lord is in this place. Some of you are called to some extraordinary duty and do not feel strong enough. Follow that call. For surely the Lord is in that place. He will help you. His arm will not be far off. So lean on Him. His divine strength is not remote, because surely the Lord is in this place. The God of Bethel, Genesis 31, verse 13. Sometimes in deep depression, in the midst of the darkest shadows, Christ appears and seems sweeter than He ever was before. When all the created streams have run dry, then the everlasting fountain bubbles up with a pure and cooling stream. Remember those occasions and the circumstances that made them cheerful and say, this God, even the God of Bethel, is still my God. If I am in trouble, if I am lonely, if I am brought so low that literally I have nothing but a doorstep for my pillow, if I should lose house, home, and friends, and be left like an orphan with no one to shelter me, O God of Bethel, You who cover my head and protect my spirit, You will still be with me. The God of Bethel is a God who concerns Himself with the things of earth. He is not a God who shuts Himself up in heaven. He is a God who has a ladder between heaven and earth. Genesis 28, verse 12. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Psalm 18, verse 6. God numbers our wanderings. He puts our tears in his bottle. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. God has made me forget. Genesis 41, verse 51. Do you feel marked for sorrow? Are you the target of the arrows of affliction? Are you punished more than others? Do not sorrow. The arrows of affliction are sent by covenant love to prepare you for a special work that will yield a great blessing from your heavenly Father. The day will come when you will be grateful for every blow, even grateful for the bitter pangs of unkindness from friends. Joseph's brothers hated him. Genesis 37, verse 4. And they sold him into slavery. Verse 28. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. Genesis 49, verse 23. Yet, see the reward. For Joseph had exclusive blessings, his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. The abundance of God's revelation is usually accompanied by a thorn in the flesh. Grief notwithstanding, there will be born to you, as there was to Joseph, a Manasseh. For God will make you forget all your labor, and there will be an Ephraim, for God will make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. Genesis 41, verses 51 and 52. Instructed by affliction, you'll become a comforter to the afflicted. All are against me. Genesis 42, verse 36. When racked with physical pain, we need the comforter. Some pain can be endured, but the sharp fangs of certain pains push into the marrow of our nature and horribly bore their way through the brain and the spirit. For such pains, much grace is needed. When your heart throbs, when your heart palpitates, when your system is upset, it is natural to say with Jacob, all these things are against me. We complain of providence, but this is a time to apply the promise with power. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41, verse 10. When pain gives every sign of increasing, when we wait for the surgeon with his dreaded knife, if we are to be sustained under suffering that makes the flesh shudder, we need the upholding gentleness of God. Fear not, for I am with you. This promise, like the nightingale's song, is most sweet when heard in the night season. In the end, nothing to fear. Genesis 49, verse 33. Unless the Lord comes quickly, we will soon leave this body and expect to gather up our feet. We may expect to breathe our last breath and, like our fathers, go to meet our God. But do not let sorrow dim your eye. Do not let fear trouble your spirit, because death is vanquished. We have no reason to fear. Courage, Christian soldiers, for you are encountering a vanquished enemy. If your master had been defeated, you might expect to be blown like chaff before the wind. But the power by which he overcame, he lends to you. Awaken all your powers to the conflict and strengthen them with the hope of victory. Remember this, the Lord's victory is your guarantee of victory, because if the head conquers, the members cannot be defeated. You must conquer, for Christ has conquered. The Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus himself has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, verse 20. Are you afraid to die? Does a grave alarm you? Do not fear, for you cannot die. Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 22. Oh, the comfort of the gospel. Allow me to say this. If your trust is in Jesus, there is nothing in the Bible to make you afraid. Nothing in the Bible, did I say? There is nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, and nothing in hell to make you fear. If your trust is in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." John 14, verses 19 and 20. Laid aside for a time, Exodus 3, verse 1. This is counsel for you who are temporarily laid on the shelf. Some of God's best workers have been laid aside for long periods. Moses was 40 years in the desert, doing nothing but tending sheep. One greater than Moses, our blessed Savior, with 30 years doing. I will not say he was doing nothing, but certainly doing no public work. When you are retired or inactive, prepare for the time when God will again use you. If you are put on the shelf, do not rust. Pray that the Master will polish you so that when he uses you again, you will be fully ready for the work. While you are laid aside, I want you to pray for others that are working. Help them and encourage them. Do not get into that peevish, miserable frame of mind that grudges and undervalues others' efforts. Some people, when they cannot do anything, do not like anybody else to work. Promise that if you cannot help, you will never hinder. Spend time in prayer that you may be fit for the Master's use. At the siege of Gibraltar, when the fleet surrounded it and determined to storm the old rock, the governor fired red-hot shot down on the men of war. The enemy did not care for the governor's warm reception. Think how it was done. Here were gunners on the ramparts firing away, and every garrison soldier wanted to join them. What did those who could not fire a gun do? They heeded the shot. And that is what you must do. Your pastor is a master gunner, so heat the shot for him. Keep the furnace going so that when a sermon is fired off, it will be red hot because of your earnest prayers. When you see your friends sitting in Sunday school or standing in the street working for God, if you cannot join them, say, "Never mind. If I can contribute nothing else, my prayers will heed the shot." I know their sorrows, Exodus 3, verse 7. If you are in the dark, if your spirits are sunk in gloom, do not despair, for the Lord Jesus was there. If you have fallen into misery, do not give up, because a Father's well-beloved path through denser darkness. Believing soul, if you are in the dark, you are near the King's cellars, where the well-refined wines on the lees are stored. Isaiah 25, verse 6. You are in the Lord's pavilion, and you may speak with him. You will not find Jesus Christ in the showy tents of pride or in the filthy haunts of wickedness. It is in the house of mourning, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 4, that you meet the man of sorrows, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is never absent when a penitent sits in darkness and expresses deep sorrow over his faults. Yes, Lord, in hours of gloom, when shadows fill my room, When pain breathes forth its groans, then thou art near. If you are under a cloud, seek your Lord. Stand still in your deepest sorrow and say, Dear Lord, the preacher tells me that your cross once stood in darkness like this. Oh, Jesus, hear me. He will respond. The Lord will look out of the pillar of cloud and shed a light on you. He is no stranger to heartbreak. I know their sorrow, said the Lord to Moses, Exodus 3, verse 7. Trust him, and he will cause his light to shine on you. Lean on him, and he will bring you out of the gloomy wilderness into the land of rest. May God help you to lean on him. Man-made gods. Judges 18, verse 24. Earthly comforts are loaned. They are not gifts, for all that we possess is God's property. He has only lent them, and what he lends he has a right to take. We hold possessions and friends on a lease that can be terminated on the supreme owner's option. Therefore, do not complain when God takes his own. In a world where thorns and briars grow, it is natural that some sharp points will pierce you. The Lord swarms with thieves, deceivers, and slanderers, with losses in business, crosses in our expectations, false or fickle friends, and with sickness and death. Little wonder our joys are stolen. Our Master warns that our habitation is not theft-proof. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Matthew 6, verse 19. Beloved, because these calamities may be expected, let us be prepared. Hold all things loosely. Hold them as though you did not have them. Look at them as fleeting. Never expect them to remain. Never make mortal things your gods. If you do, your heart will be broken when they are taken. And you will cry with Micah, You have taken away my gods which I have made. Judges 18, verse 24. Gleaning God's riches, Ruth 2, verse 2. Troubled and depressed Christian, come and glean this morning in the broad field of promise. Here are abundant and precious promises to meet your exact needs. Take this one. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Isaiah 42, verse 3. Does this meet your need? Here is a reed that is weaker than weakness itself, yet he will not break it. Perhaps you are like the smoking flax from which no light or warmth can come. Still, he will not quench you. He will blow with his sweet breath of mercy until he fans you into a flame. Would you glean another ear? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. What soft words! Your heart is tender, and the Master knows it. He speaks gently to you. Will you obey and come to him now? Take another ear of corn. I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 41, verse 14. How can you be afraid when you have this wonderful assurance? You may gather 10,000 golden ears like these. Blotted out, like a thick cloud, your transgressions, and like a cloud, your sin. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Or this, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Or this, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. Our Master's field is full and rich. The precious promises lie in front of you. Gather them. Make them your own. Grasp these sweet promises. Thresh them by meditation. Feed on them with joy. the pillars of the earth. 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. It is a high privilege to rest in God when danger or pain strikes. The doctor has said that you have to undergo surgery, and there is every probability that your disease and weakness will increase, and that you will be bedridden for a considerable time. Do not fret. That will not help. Do not fear the future. That will not improve your condition. Put yourself. This is your privilege. In the keeping of those dear hands that were pierced for you, surrender to the love of that heart which was pierced to purchase your redemption. The rest that the Holy Spirit gives under the worst conditions is wonderful. Martyrs have sung at the stake. They have rejoiced on the rack. Bonner's coal hole at Fulham, England, where the martyrs were locked up, was a wretched place to spend a winter's night. Still, the martyrs sang there, and it was the sweetest thing in the sight of heaven. Bonner said, contempt on them that they should make such a noise. But they told him that he too would make such a noise if he was as happy as they were. When you trust in God, you have sweet rest in danger or pain. Oh, to be in God's hand, what a place. In the hands of God, there are myriads of stars, and there is the universe itself. The stars do not fall because God's hand upholds their everlasting pillars, 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. If we are in God's hand, we are where all things rest, we are home, and we are happy. We have left the creature's nothingness and entered into the Creator's all-sufficiency. Beloved friend, get there. Hurry to get there. And from this moment, live in God's hands. He will guard our feet, 1 Samuel 2, verse 9. The way is slippery, and our feet are feeble, but the Lord will guard our steps. If we give ourselves by obedient faith to be His holy ones, He will Himself be our guardian. Not only will He give His angels charge to keep us, Psalm 91, verse 11, but He Himself will preserve our way. He will guard our feet from falling, that we do not stain our garments, wound our souls, or cause the enemy to blaspheme. He will guard our feet from wandering, that we do not go into the paths of error, ways of folly, or courses of the world's customs, Psalm 32, verse 8. He will guard our feet from swelling due to weariness, blistering, or the roughness and length of the way, Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. He will guard our feet from being cut, and our shoes will be iron and bronze, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. Even if we step on swords or on deadly serpents, we will not bleed or be poisoned, Mark 16, verse 18. He will also pluck our feet out of the net, Psalm 25, verse 15. We will not be entangled by the deceit of our malicious and crafty foes. With such a promise as this, let us run without weariness and walk without fear. He who guards our feet will do it effectively. Speak, Lord. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. 1 Samuel 3, 9. You may not know which of two opportunities to choose. Some friends have urged you to follow one plan, and some have urged you to follow the other. If you have used your best judgment and have endeavored to direct your steps according to the Word of God, you will receive an answer. God will give you distinct guidance. Take your difficulty to the God of wisdom and spread your situation before Him. Divest your own will and solemnly desire to know God's will. Then expect by some means or other, for God has different ways of doing it, to have an answer from the Most High. Make this your prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. In our daily lives, we need to acknowledge God fully. We need to acknowledge Him in the common transactions of daily living. If we do not, we may like the Israelites with the Gibeonites, be betrayed in the simplest transaction and deceived to our lasting injury. 2 Samuel 21 verse 9. Lord, direct us. It's a good motto not only for the city of London, but also for the citizens of heaven. This is my advice. Take your difficulty to God in prayer and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Do not ask God to confirm your opinion. Ask Him to make your opinion conform to His truth. Follow the simple word of God as you find it. Let the Holy Spirit flow on the sacred page, and as you read, you will hear the Master say, "This is my word." He will make it come to your soul with power. You will have no doubt when your heart cries, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." The Lord has helped us. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. God is with you wherever you go, on land or by sea, day or night. You never can be alone. It is impossible to journey out of your Father's dominions. Psalm 139 verse 8. You may dwell here or there, or you may live in a mansion or a hovel, and still you will be in your Heavenly Father's great house. His house is enormous. In my Father's house are many mansions, John 14 verse 2. God will provide all necessary things. You have had some hard pinches. You have suffered the bitterness of widowhood, or you are poor and the supply you receive is scant. Still, you are alive. Your food has been given to you and your water is sure. Isaiah 33 verse 16. Your clothing is worn but not worn out. Thus far, the Lord has helped you. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. Jehovah Jireh has been your song. The Lord has provided. Little birds in the winter morning sit on bare branches and sing. Snow covers the ground and they cannot tell where their breakfast will come from. Still they sing, and God provides. Seldom do you see a sparrow that died of hunger. Generally, the birds of heaven are fed. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Matthew 6 verse 26. Perhaps you would like to live in a cage and be regularly fed and have a pension. I believe that caged birds die earlier than those that are taken care of by God. So it is better to trust in the Lord than place your confidence in others. He has not, and He will not, let you want. Take His words as your assurance. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 verses 3 and 4.